ESPN Radio listeners know him as the more practical half of their favorite afternoon drive time duo. NBC viewers love him as the enthusiastic co-host of Spartan, everyone's favorite physical competition. Whether you know him as Kelvin from Eastern Michigan or Kelvin from Detroit, with the waves he's making professionally, soon everyone's going to know Kelvin. I'm so excited to have him on today's Spotlight On, host, sports broadcaster, Kelvin K-Dub Washington.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
T-Grizzly?
I had to.
T-Grizzly.
I had to.
Listen, I'm not mad at it.
I know, but hold on. Just give it 10 seconds. Are you listening?
Okay. He caught cases on the road. He caught cases.
He has a real story, that's for sure. No, I picked T-Grizzly, young man who is from Detroit. And we had him recently on our show, actually, Marcellus and Kelvin on ESPN LA 710. And just trying to, you know, I'm wishing for him to do great things.
Okay.
Had a remarkable story, you know, was locked up, and he really is trying to change his life right now. And all of this fame and things new to him. So I'm rooting for him. Rooting for him to do well.
Now, is he famous? Would you call that famous?
There are levels of fame, so yes.
Okay, that's
there are
fair.
Levels of fame. If you see all the jewelry he just bought, somebody likes him, that's for sure.
I love it. Guys, you're watching AfterBuzz TV Spotlight On. We have host Kelvin Washington in the house. You guys already know him. I mean, I really don't need to even gas him up even more. But why not?
I don't know about that, but okay. I appreciate it.
We listen to you every day. If you love sports, if you love pop culture, politics, you know, anything. If you don't live under a rock, then everyone knows you. Every afternoon from 3 to 7, you are on ESPN 710 with Marcellus. T-Grizzly. We love T-Grizzly, but...
All right, that was too much T-Grizzly. All right, T-Grizzly, that's my man. But all right, now we can turn him down now.
Shout out to T-Grizzly, but shout out to your success in L.A. as a host. How did you get started?
Wow. Well, specifically in L.A. or do you mean in general?
In general. I mean, I guess when you... To the unfamiliar eye, people think once you make it to the top,
yeah,
that it's all glamorous, and people forget there's a whole lot of struggle. So what was your struggle?
Well, I love the idea that I've made it to the top. I like that. I'll take that. But I know that there's a lot more to do, a lot more that I aspire to do, and I would like to believe that there's a lot more that I'm called to do. But if you ask kind of where it started, college, mm-hmm. I will say that I was fortunate, Erica, that I kind of knew what I wanted to do early on. And I think some college students either watching this or even post-grad, they know that, you know, for them, maybe they changed their major 2, 3, 4 times or got out of college and said, I don't want to do this. Many people have been there. Right. For me, I was fortunate where from probably onset of college, I knew what I wanted to do. Now, how I was going to get there, the right. road that lied ahead, I wasn't, you know, sure about that, of course. So I got right in, but I will say it was initially, you know, your local news sportscaster. Right. That's what I wanted to do. So I had an internship at Fox 2 News in Detroit. I was there for the summer. And I was able to do some things that, you know, when you see sometimes those highlights and you'll see just the athlete and, you know, talking, I think next game I'm going to do this, I'm going to shoot some three. And you see just microphones.
Right.
You couldn't tell your boy anything. I thought I was living it up because I would tell my people, hey, I'm going to have a brown watch on, or I'll have a such and such watch so you'll see me, or I have a wristband on. So they would know that was my hand.
Right.
So I get sound bites and all that good stuff, cut up highlight tapes. And then from there, you know, the bug was there. I was bitten. Right. I was like, oh, I want to do this for sure. But I think oftentimes, and I know you can relate to this as a host and you know, doing what you do. Oftentimes when I go speak to high school students or I speak to college students, I think the focus is on television, right?
True.
So I was fortunate, believe it or not, where I couldn't get into television initially.
And why could you not get into television initially?
It's difficult. And if you don't have a particular, either an N, mm-hmm. If you don't have a great reel, which is much easier nowadays because I'm looking in here in the studio, we got multiple things. First of all, AfterBuzz. I mean, you got 19 cameras. Y'all doing it up in here. But I say that jokingly, but I'm serious in that there is a 14-year-old, 13-year-old that has a couple of cameras. So they can make a YouTube this and they can right. have a reel. They can, you know, hop on AfterBuzz. And back then, not that I'm that old, but that wasn't common. So point right. is, it was hard to get a reel if you didn't have actual content.
Right.
And so I had one little thing I did. I remember how it started, too. With chance of one more year, as one of the NHL players was going to retire, and all the fans were saying, you know, one more year. So point is, I had this one little thing that I would send to these, you know, these news stations. And they're like, okay, dude, that's one little 1 minute piece.
Well, you were still in college at the time.
Just graduating.
Okay.
Just graduating. And so no one would holler at your boy. Mm-hmm. So I had to kind of make my way. And then I started to work and, you know, regular jobs. And I mean, I was, you know, that annoying person that works at a kiosk in the mall.
What?
Hey, ma'am. Hey, you want the? Hey, sir. Let me tell you, sir. That's a nice. So I was that guy.
That was you?
Mind your business.
Listen.
Mind your business.
Listen. My parents have always taught me that every job has every job is honorable. You know.
Yes.
So that's an honorable job, but they are annoying as hell.
Yeah.
I hate that you had to go through that.
Were you waiting for me to deny that? So you know, I'm thinking I'm too cool for that. I'm like, ain't nobody. I'm like, hey, man. Yes, sir. But, you know, I did that, and eventually, you know, I moved on and I started selling cell phones for an actual company. I was, I think, a Singular Wireless.
I remember Singular.
And it turned into AT&T. Yeah, exactly. So I started doing that. The reason I bring that up is because then I started to make decent money for that, you know, that age. And I was, you know, I was like, all right. And it was kind of one of those things, a blessing in disguise. I got fired, and that forced me to then say, you know what? Let's focus back on what we really want to do.
What'd you get fired for?
Mind your business again.
No, listen. This is AfterBuzz TV Spotlight on.
I got fired.
Tell everything
I got
here.
Fired because I showed up late. But I showed up late like 97 times because we worked at a mall. And so during Christmas, you know, primarily the time I worked was during the holiday season-ish. And so the mall is crazy. So I'd be, you know, if I got to be there, I don't make it up times. 9 o'clock, I'm there at 9:01, 9:02. But it's no excuse. However, that's I'm grateful that that happened because it was, you know, I was like, you know what? Let me do what I want to do.
Right.
And I set out on the journey and no news station would give me a shot. And then radio opened its doors first. And radio gave me a chance and I found my you know, my voice. And don't get it twisted. I had to work my way up.
Right.
Promotion assistant. I'm putting up banners. You know, I'm the one when you go to events and there's no on-air personality, but you see the people all hyper. Hey,
right.
Welcome.
The street team.
Street team.
You were the street team.
Throwing out. I would like the promotion assistant. Okay, let me feel like I was doing something in my life.
Street team.
So throwing out keychains and all that and just, you know, and working my way up and grateful that I had a mentor that she gave me a chance to kind of help her out on her show. And from there, you know, some good things happened. And then I had my one moment. And I think everyone in any field and really in life, you can have that moment.
Mm-hmm.
My moment was a couple of things. I'll give myself credit. I would work on my air check whenever possible. An air check is a demo, radio demo, for those who maybe don't know. So my mentor would be like, hey, I got to go up to the station at 2-3 a.m., you know. And I'd be like, okay, let me come up
you
there because she'll help me out
right.
work on my demo. And I would do that. And one day, I went into my boss's office and I told her, I said, hey, I'm probably going to quit. Or is there an opportunity in sales? You know, I'm a little older than the other promotion
right.
assistants, street teamers. And, you know, it's, you know, let me, your boy, I got to get some money. You know
right.
what I mean? So she was like, no, you're really good. Don't quit. I know you want to be on air. Go do your event today. Come back and I'll have you meet the big man, the boss.
Nice.
Who, you know, he walks around. You don't say a word to him because he's the big man.
You don't look him in the eye.
I come back. Exactly. Come back. And she said, you know, he's waiting on you. And I was kind of doing something. I went to the restroom and I'm like, and I had 1 minute and I said, do I run to my car and grab my demo, which would take a minute. I got to go to the parking lot, find it, you know, ruffle through my car.
But what's on this demo at this point?
My
just
air check.
No,
this is a radio demo. So this is what
okay.
I've been working on those 2-3
gotcha.
a.m.
Okay.
morning. So this is 3-4 minutes of content.
Nice.
So I was like, screw it, man. I ran in the car, grabbed my stuff. All right. And she's calling me. Where are you? This is so-and-so. You don't let him wait. Do you know who he is? Do you know who he is? I know. I'm coming. So I ran up there and I sat down. Boom. Just like this. I sat out my demo. And I sat in front of him. He's like, so this is the guy I've been hearing all these good things about. All right. And I'm thinking, Eric, I'm thinking like, yo, I'm going to leave my demo here. And I'm like, it was nice. You know, we'll talk.
Right.
It was nice meeting you. Have a great day. Oh, by the way, if you ever get a second, can you check out my demo?
Right.
Instead, it was the opposite. Hey, this is Kelvin. Okay, great.
He played it right in front of
right,
you.
And I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, that's
this
the
is
worst.
The most excruciating.
That's the worst.
And he's just sitting there, and he had a cold poker face. He was like, this is you? And I'm like, yes. This is you. And about 40 seconds in, he stops and he says, this is fucking amazing.
Nice.
And he slid it back at me and he said, I want you on air tonight. And I was on the air the next night because I told the guy that I was supposed to talk to. I said, bro, I need one more night to get my, you know, stuff together.
Yes.
Let me work on something. How you run that board again? So I go up and the mic go, okay, good. So worked on it. And I was on the next night. And from there, I went to Flint. I was on radio there. And we made a decision to move to L.A.
Okay.
Came out here butt naked.
Right.
I didn't have a job.
Right.
Couldn't get a job at In-N-Out. Yeah. Nobody hire your boy. So I had to keep grinding. And then I kind of made my way hosting a couple things. You ever heard of R&B Live?
Yeah, I used to host R&B Live,
okay,
too.
Okay, well, then you know about that. So.
Around the corner, down the street, well, different places. But they, yeah.
But yes. So I used to do that for a little bit. And from then on, I started doing voiceover work.
Okay.
And then you know how it is out here in LA, right, man. You start working this. You meet the right person. I go to a particular conference every year, NABJ, mm-hmm. National Association of Black Journalists. Shout out to them. I go there every year. And, you know, it's a huge career fair as well as a whole bunch of parties where you rub elbows and network and meet
right.
people. And I was able to do some things. And eventually, I was at a radio station in Riverside. I was at Radio Disney. And then eventually, I was able to get into ESPN.
Nice.
So, are we out of time? Is the show over?
No. You know what? Actually, we have 2 more minutes now. Yes. But no, honestly, though, Kelvin, your story is so inspiring because, again, as I said at the top of the show, people think that it's super glamorous yeah. that, you know, that you just go from your hometown, Midwest, you know, South, and then, like, you're quote-unquote famous. But you, as, you know, you guys just heard out there, have been grinding for a long time. So, ESPN, tell us about the moment where you got the call where they said, Kelvin,
yeah,
you got the job, ESPN.
So they had the ESPYs last night, right? Mm-hmm. And I was at the, you know, we did a red carpet special, and then we, you know, went to show, and then the after party. And I ran into some people, one in particular who was a very integral part of me getting there,
mm-hmm.
Because at this conference. So things are changing a bit where, as you know, that you it's good to be versatile, it's good mm-hmm. to be diverse, right? So back at a certain point, you had to be, I'm news person, or
right.
I'm sports guy, hot take,
right.
guy, you know, or what's up, yo, I'm entertainment dude.
Right.
So when people would look at my reel, they'd be like, well, shoot, what do I do with this guy? It's kind of versatile. He could do this, he could do that, he
right.
could do this. And one particular person, she kind of bet on me, if you will, and was like, yo, you need to go to Bristol, we're at the headquarters mm-hmm. for ESPN, and talk to so-and-so, and I really like you, and I think if, you know, you kind of, you got a chance. And he saw me say the same thing, like, yo, you're kind of like what we're looking for as far as, you know, the way that things are changing
mm-hmm.
and, you know, what people want. And so he said, when you go back to L.A., talk to so-and-so. And it was literally just boom, boom, boom. And eventually I got on with ESPN. I was on the air, and then I got my morning show a few months, maybe six months later.
Right.
Myself and Travis Rogers, we did a morning show for a little bit. And then, again, man, things in life will open a little door, a little crack. And there was an opening for the afternoons with Marcellus Wiley. And I went in there. We had a couple of really good shows, and it was one of those that felt good.
Right.
That felt right. And shout out to Big Dog, man, Marcellus, the big homie.
Marcellus, that dude.
Yeah, that dude.
That
because
dude.
He definitely made it known he wanted me. And obviously, mm-hmm. having such a strong person saying that, you know, it was kind of hard for them to ignore that. So we got on, and we've been rocking out ever since.
How many months has it been now? For
it's
you
been
guys?
A year.
Been a year.
But
okay.
Officially, it'll be a year, and I think September from that.
Okay.
Mistaken.
No, I do want to talk about NBC Spartan Ultimate Challenge. But
yeah.
before we talk about that, at AfterBuzz TV Spotlight, I like to play games. And these are games that
now you're talking my language.
Right. Okay, perfect. Okay, so.
Are you playing against me? Is there competition up in there?
The only competition is yourself,
okay.
Kelvin.
Dang.
Okay.
I was going to show you something, Miss former Falcon dancer.
Listen.
By the way, let me tell y'all something. She is ripped up over here, okay? I'm just saying, like, you're like, oh, back when I used to. Like, girl, you might want to steal. I'm just saying.
Listen, I can't kick that high anymore.
Yeah, well, I don't believe you. Coming in here, I'm about to do some sit-ups right now, sitting next to you. Let me step my game up.
Listen, I'll teach you
a
routine.
Is this adding weight to you, boy?
No, AfterBuzz cameras, actually, we take you 5 pounds
Shout
down.
Out to Anthony. I appreciate that, man.
So, first game, 60-second speed round. I like to say that it can go over or under, but it's at my own discretion because I call the shots here. So you have 60 seconds to answer these questions as candidly and as quickly as you can without thinking about them first thing that comes to your mind.
All right.
And as truthfully.
Okay.
Okay. You ready?
I think.
Okay.
I was till you said that.
Which sports figure have you met that made you the most starstruck?
Isaiah Thomas, but I didn't meet him. I pump faked.
Okay.
So from the Detroit area, I grew up loving, you know what I'm saying?
Wait a second. No, this is 60 seconds now. You're using
Isaiah Thomas. I got too scared. And I was like, I'll see him later as an event. And I was like, I'll come back. And I didn't get a chance to meet him. And he was gone.
Okay. Last book you read?
Ooh, I'm reading right now, Unscripted. I'm almost done with, by Ernie Johnson.
Okay. Greatest fear.
Ooh. Of failing as a father and husband.
Okay. Max or Marcellus?
Marcellus. That was easy.
Perfect. Guiltiest pleasure.
Ooh. Probably junk food and specifically chips and ice cream, which as I've gotten older doesn't work too well with your boy. I'm just going to leave that. You know what I'm talking about. People know what I'm talking about.
It's hard. It's hard out here in these junk food streets.
Yeah, and especially because I've been losing weight for like 7, 8, 9, 10 months.
Okay.
And then I come in here with you.
Listen, 3-day road trip or 3-day cruise?
Road trip.
You have 24 hours to live. 3 things you got to do.
Ooh, sit down with all my people and tell them how much they mean to me. Ooh, what else do I have to do?
2 more things.
Blow a bunch of money for no reason because, you know, I'm just a little conservative and have a bunch of sex.
Okay, perfect.
Right? Just go out like, you know.
Go out with a bang. Go, yes, yeah, you can say that.
Go out with a bang.
Go out with a bang, literally.
But it better be like a couple of bang, like the fireworks bang, like bang, bang, bang.
Well, you got 24 hours, so you might have to not sit down with
people. I say that now, I might throw my back out. I don't know.
You're going to be dead, though, so it won't matter the next day.
There you go. Great point. I don't need my back.
You don't need it. You don't need your back in heaven. Or in your casket.
Maybe. I'll be mad if I did. Get to heaven and God's like, hey, welcome, but we need your back. Oh, you ain't got your back? Get out. I'm sorry.
God obviously loves you.
Because he'll give me a new back.
He'll get you a new back. He got you a new job with NBC Spartan Challenge. Let's talk about that.
Ooh. Look at you, Miss Host.
Look at that segue.
With the segue. Wow. Look at you. Wow. So I got an audition for it. And the best part, anybody, let me explain something to you. If you are out here or you, wherever you are, and you plan on, you know, being in this industry or anything, where the best feeling is when you go in, and even an interview in any field, when you go in, you do your best, and you walk out like, man, I did my best. I literally couldn't have done any better. If they hire me, they don't, you know, it's fine.
Right.
And you know what I'm talking
about.
Right,
right.
And I had that feeling. I went in there, and, it, you know, it's been a few times where I've had those feelings, right? And those are the times I've, you know, whether it was a commercial or this or that, because you just, you felt good. And so I walked in, felt good, casual, what's up, let's do it. And walked out, I was like, yo, that felt really good. And then a few days later, I got the call that, you know, they wanted me to be a part of the show. And just was literally doing a voiceover. We got a couple more sessions before we're done, and the season will be over in about a week and a half.
So we are at episode 5 this week, right?
This week is 6.
Okay.
This coming Monday will be 6.
Okay, gotcha. Now, there are more than a handful of tearjerker inspirational stories from the army captains to the guy from Texas who lost his family in the house fire, the moms who have the snapback bodies, as you've said, the dancer from Broadway who's dealing with alcoholism. Yeah. What story has impacted you the most?
Well, clearly you can't look past some of our veterans who are missing limbs and what they've given for this country, and then to see them competing. And I always joke, but I'm actually serious, to see really there's no excuse. When you know, like I have a beautiful baby daughter now who will be 8 months soon, and you know, oh man, getting up in the morning and it's rough. Anybody who has kids knows that. And I had knee surgery a while ago, so I'm making all these excuses not to really get back being active and really do some things. And I'm looking at these guys, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Right.
Literally, a gentleman had no arm, and he's doing stuff that you can't do. And some of them he couldn't do, but he gave it a shot.
Right.
So that was very inspiring. And really, just to hear a lot of these stories, I could have you here all day. Better halves, Chris Ann, and I forgot, dang, what is her husband's name? Steve. He was hit very hard in a car accident. I mean, his body was beaten down. And to see him come back and compete in an advanced stage compared to, you know, the other athletes.
Right.
So it was just all inspiring. This, I mean, it really was. Like, I mean, I really mean that. It was very inspiring and compelling to hear these people's stories. So really, it took me back to something someone told me when I was 16 years old that kind of changed. One of the few things that someone said that changed my life, no excuses. Yeah, you know, someone said to me once, you make more excuses than anybody I know.
Somebody said that to you personally?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Life-changing moment.
Okay.
I was like, because I wanted him to be sympathetic and empathetic, understand what I'm going through. He was like, boy, you make more excuses than anybody I know. And
that hurt me.
Ooh.
That hurt me today.
Because he was supposed to be there, but it was real. So I felt myself being like, dang, excuses. You know, look at them out here getting it.
Right. Okay. So has being a co-host for Spartan inspired you to get back in the gym? Has it inspired you to clean up your eating habits? Not that you need to, but, you know, like watching, yeah. like when you're watching these people, you know, you're looking at their bodies.
Right.
I mean, as a viewer, yeah, I'm invested in their stories emotionally, but I'm like, oh, look at her abs. Sure. You know, look at his arms.
Well, I'll say this. Like, it's not just simply like I am not in their lifestyle where this is what they do.
True.
So you don't want to make it where you're setting yourself up for failure in the sense that you'll never look like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it's inspiring to whatever it is to get in there and get active and be a part of it.
Right.
So that is more the bigger picture of if you're in it, be in it to win it. And go for it. So it doesn't have to walk around look like Adonis.
Not, right.
Hold on, you laugh way too hard. What are you trying to say? Like that's a tall task?
Because they can't tell, but he looks like Adonis. I mean,
oh, hold up.
Listen.
Hold up. I'm way too dark skinned. You better have me blushing up in here, turning purple. Stop playing with me.
Listen, black people, dark people can.
We turn purple.
We do.
I used to look like Adonis back in the 80s and 90s.
Okay.
I would lift up my shirt for no reason. Just that was how I greeted. What's your name? Bow. Shirt up.
Abs,
and bam.
Count the abs. Six abs, yeah. Six pack, eight pack.
Whoa, six.
Six, eight.
All right.
Ten.
Let's keep it right.
Keep on going. Okay, so NBC Spartan Challenge, ESPN Radio 3-7, Max and Marcellus. Ooh, I just called you Max.
Cut, Anthony, cut.
Sorry.
Cut. I deal with that enough on my own show. They call me Black Max.
Right. But you are not Max at all. Like, and that's the thing.
We're not at all.
Nothing similar. But at the same time, you're not similar to Marcellus either.
All right, you want a real conversation?
What?
That's like a real one, yeah. And it may even be uncomfortable for some people. The idea that two black men
right.
would host a show was very challenging for some people.
Listen, I'm happy for it, because I actually used to listen to you when you were at CBS on Wilshire.
Oh, dang, you be out here.
Right. Yeah. So I'm a sports, you know, I pay attention to sports talk radio. So when you got that job, I was so excited, but I was like nervous.
Right.
Because the perception is that two strong, intelligent black men in the same space after someone like Max left can...
Well, actually, but see, you got to go even before that.
Okay.
The idea that could even work, because what I heard, and I heard it was, well, you guys are going to sound alike, or you guys going to have the same thought process. And I'm like, wow. Like, so historically, it's been white middle-aged men doing sports talk around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone stop and say those two are going to sound alike? Did anyone stop and say they're going to have the same ideology, same thought process, same, you know, same train of thought? No one says that. But when two black guys decide to do it in a big city at a big time slot afternoons. So I was a bit offended by that, to be honest with you. However, if you listen to the show, we hardly agree on anything. Today is Thursday, right?
Right.
No, it's not.
Right.
If you listen to us. We're going to argue about it. So the idea that, you know, that, oh, I don't, oh, you guys are going to sound like, I was offended by that and still am with that mindset.
Yeah.
Because what it does to me, it just shows, again, we've come a long way, but there's still some progress that needs to be made when two middle-aged white men are the kind of the typical sports talk throughout the country. And no one stops to say, hey, ooh, they're going to sound alike, or they're going to have the same, you know, mindset.
Do you think, and I'm just playing devil's advocate because I do not agree with this, because, I mean, as an on-camera personality myself, you know, if one black girl books the job, most likely another black girl is not going to book a job.
True.
You know,
that's
whether it's,
true.
You know, a
very
modeling
true.
Job or a commercial, like, no matter what. And if a dark-skinned girl books a job, I might as well go ahead and be like, okay, you know, next job.
How dare they have two?
They wouldn't.
Whoa.
God,
what is this? What is this, 2035? Slow down here. It's only 2017.
Right. So, but it, as playing devil's advocate, could it be that because black people make up a significantly
smaller
less
portion,
of the population?
Not true with our listenership.
Okay. Okay. So correct me.
If you look at the data of who listens, we're very heavy minority. So
okay.
A lot of Mexican Americans, obviously here in LA specifically, and then a lot of African Americans as well. And of course, is white, Asian, everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like 5% of our listeners are that.
Gotcha.
It's not the case at all. So really, it's kind of fitting to our demo. But either way, why does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's refreshing about ESPN LA, I got to give some love to my station, is that across the board, all of our shows, it's very diverse. And I don't care if there is two white guys on the
show.
The point is, the mindset behind it. Why did you do it? I don't care if, you know what I mean? Did you not do something because, well, I don't want to make that. That's going to sound alike. Or is it, no, those two guys fit. They work well together. Two Asians, two white. I don't care. Go. Run with it.
Yeah.
That's more what would offend me is the mindset. It's not the actual selection of the talent.
I think what happens in the industry, probably not just in the entertainment industry, that white men in suits get intimidated by too many black people in the room.
And, okay, where is this conversation going?
Okay,
this is about to get too real.
Okay, so let's talk about the ESPYs.
Is that how much time we got left?
Yeah, let's talk about ESPYs.
No, because that's a real...
It's a real thing.
That's a very real thing. And I brought that up on the air once, several times. Because here's what I like. As I grow and continue to become comfortable with your voice, and you know how this is, then you become comfortable having real and uncomfortable conversations. Because, number one, what I've learned growing up in Ann Arbor, specifically outside of Detroit, is that oftentimes many people of different cultures do not, or especially in mainstream and white America, they're not forced to interact with other people often. So whereas reverse with other people, you do. But that's not always the case, because if you're straight out of Detroit, you haven't had interaction. So many times we're so segregated, even though we are integrated as far as our, you know, society, but that you don't have interaction with people in a culture, so that things can be intimidating or things can be fearful, or you're just flat out ignorant to things. And I mean that in a very, you know, understanding way. You just don't know.
You don't know.
So I've kind of found, like, my place in life for some reason has been to kind of bridge the gap. I don't know why. It's like, I don't know. It's just the burden I carry. And so I enjoy those moments and these moments to have that conversation, because like, oh, wow, you can enlighten someone to some other ones, other people's, you know, either upbringing, circumstance, plight, stories, whatever you choose to use. But that happens a lot. There's kind of this weird, if there's more than 3-4 black people, it's like, whoa, this is a little, what's going on? I could tell you stories for days, but I won't do that.
Oh, I'm sure. We'll talk about this off air. You know, I'll call into the show and then I'll hound you to be more forthright on air. 3-7, ESPN 710. ESPYs, always full of so many inspirational stories. The Arthur Ashe Award, the Icon Award, the Pat Tillman Award. Of course, we honor Jimmy V's legacy, not just through the week, but really all year long. What moment from last night's show stood out to you the most, besides Michelle Obama? Hey, Michelle.
Well,
she looked good.
Well, I'll tell you something.
She looked good.
Boy, if I wasn't married and she wasn't married. That's a lot of ifs.
Right.
Boy, I tell you what. No, she's great. We love her. I screamed come back. I posted a video. I was like, come back. I think actually the award she was presenting to Eunice Kennedy Shriver, who I be honest, I didn't know who she was up until that moment. And the work that she has done, she's no longer with us, but the work that she did with the Special Olympics for 50, 60 years was absolutely amazing and astonishing. And to see how far and how big it's gotten now, it was really great. And to see little JJ, his story as well, because you've seen him all around with the sports. But to really get in depth with his story.
He's very charismatic, too. He's ridiculous.
You better add a third chair. He's going to be on the show.
Seriously, he'll take over this joint.
For sure. But those are the things, again, even taking it back to Spartan Ultimate Team Challenge, it's the stories that make things compelling. Because you can watch just athletic performances, but it's the stories. It's why you get into even, you know, the NBA.
Right.
You get into LeBron, this kid from Akron who, you know,
who doesn't have a hairline anymore.
Now he's bald. Let's go over the hairline thing. There's a thing called bowing out gracefully. Kobe Bryant did it best. He would be my story. Like, he would be my example of bowing out gracefully. Once you realize, oh, shoot, we starting to thin a little bit. And let's say you have as much hair as I do. The next time we see you, cut it down some. Not a lot. And the next time we see you 6 months later, next season, you cut it down even more. Until eventually where you're bald or very, very, very low that we don't even know. And when are you always low? When are you always bald?
Right.
We don't even think about it. You can't go Steve Harvey on me.
Yeah.
Where you had the super black high top fade. It was like this. And the next thing I saw, you were bald. Oh! Like, what? How? Didn't he? What?
Yeah.
So it's bowing out gracefully. You slowly did. One of my homeboys did that. I was proud of him. So like, then now him bald is like, I don't remember when he wasn't bald.
Well, so wait. Well, LeBron is still trying to pretend that
he's
pretending
and he's fighting it.
Listen.
But if he would have just slowly went down and then went bald, we would have looked up. We'd be like, wasn't he always bald? Or, you know, you wouldn't have remembered. But when you go from boom to boom, or just keep fighting it,
don't fight. It's all bad. LeBron, listen, don't fight. Give it like you gave.
But
up.
I'm not gonna let you disrespect my man LeBron.
Oh, I love LeBron, but. All right, okay. But cool. it's time to give up. Hey, you started it.
As long as you talk about that.
You started it.
Now, is he better than Kobe Bryant?
That's a conversation for another day.
I'm sorry. What? We got time.
I mean, that's a conversation. We do not have time. That's a conversation for another day. That's fine.
What?
So, okay, so we'll I wasn't there last night at the ESPYs, but there's this moment I'm watching on television. Russell Westbrook is accepting the best male athlete. And I don't know if you've seen this on television yet, but the camera cuts to Kevin Durant in the audience. He's sitting next to his mom, of course, because he's always next to his mom.
Yeah. She was a celebrity at the after party.
She's a celebrity everywhere she goes. They're sitting next to each other. Westbrook is going to accept the award, and you see KD's mom look at him and say something like, "It's okay, baby." You can't really make out what she's saying, but it's almost as if she's like, "Don't worry about that." The same kind of tone that she had after he won the finals, and she was like, "Baby, I don't care what anybody says about you." It was that attitude she had last night. Now, you had a behind-the-scenes look because you were hosting the red carpet. Did you happen to see Westbrook and Kevin Durant interact at all? And
not at all.
No?
No, not at all. No, I don't. They didn't do the whole red carpet thing. So what happened, if you've ever worked a red carpet, is you have plenty of people that so initially, there are people that you have no idea who they are, right? They're working their way up. Like, it could even be one of us.
Right.
You know, you work the red carpet, and people are like, some of you might see one of your homies. Hey, girl. Oh, my God, you looking good. You know, yo, dope. I'm like, oh, thank God somebody knew me.
Right.
But a lot of people don't because you're working your way. You're ascending. And the same thing happens with athletes. You know, you're the third string point guard for the Lakers. Right. It's like, okay, who is that? I don't know. He's tall. It must be an NBA player. Point is, eventually you start getting to the heavier names as the day goes by. But then you get to some heavy people that either don't stop because they're just that. They just come through waving and don't, you know, speak to the outlets, or they go through the back. They never even come. And I didn't see Kevin Durant. I do think I saw Russ on the red carpet, but I don't even remember seeing Kevin Durant at all. So he may have. He has a love-hate relationship with the media. Like, he doesn't really actually take out love-hate. He has a tolerate-hate. He'll tolerate to hate in between there.
Yeah.
So I could see him just being like, nah, I'm good, B.
Do you think that KD Westbrook beef is real, or do you think that's orchestrated for ratings?
Well, okay, no, I don't think it's a beef. Do I think they're best friends? Because beef is a real term.
Okay, well, I'm not talking about beef in the Detroit sense. I'm talking about beef like, I don't like you.
But do I have to not even like you just to say I'm good on you? See, those are two different things to me. Meaning, there are certain people in your life like, oh, yeah, I don't have anything negative or good. We don't really, you know, talk.
Okay.
That's why I'm not beefed with you. So, you follow what I mean?
So, you think it's just indifference?
Yeah.
I disagree. I hugely disagree. I think that Westbrook has beef with Kevin Durant.
I don't think he has a beef. I think he didn't like the way it handled. But, see, here's why. Russell Westbrook strikes me as someone who's like, oh, okay, move on, and you're done. That's not beef. Beef is like when I feel the need to see you and it's like, oh, I don't like to even talk about you. That's beef. I feel like he's just like I think it was initial hurt. Like, Daniel's going to leave. You're not going to text me. Okay. And you're done. That's not beef, though. So that's just how I interpret it.
Okay.
Because, I'm going to give you an example. Like, Reggie Miller was beef with the Knicks, if you want to keep it in the NBA.
Okay.
He did not like the Knicks. He didn't talk smack about it. Like, that's like beef.
That's just old school, like, 90s beef. So beef has changed and evolved.
Well, we need to call it, like, tofu. Veggie burger. Yes, they have a veggie burger. They have a veggie burger.
Black bean soy patty.
Yep.
Rate Peyton as a host on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best.
7.5, 8.
Okay.
Like, he's very steady. Like, there's not huge highs, although that the sketch of him in the Super Bowl party was freaking hilarious to me. He's even, you know? Like, Jamie Foxx, for example, is going to peak higher. Like, moments that you're like, oh, I remember that moment. I remember when he said that. Remember the tennis racket with Serena? Like, those are peaks. Even Drake had peaks.
Drake is good.
So, Peyton was more steady. You know, I don't, you know, that's just me. But he's perfect to have because it's going to be just like him as a player.
Right. Very middle of the road. Dak Prescott beat out Aaron Judge, Lori Hernandez, the Greek Freak, and Christian Pulisic? Or how do you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Pulisic.
Don't look at me.
Okay.
Don't look at me.
Anthony, how do you pronounce that? To win Breakthrough Athlete. Is that fair that Dak Prescott won?
He is the quarterback, the most important position in all of sports, on the arguably one of the biggest sport franchises in the world, the Dallas Cowboys.
Who's your NFL team?
He was going to... Oh, Lions.
Okay.
Whoa. Okay. Because
all over your Instagram, you have that Rams hat on. I know, I mean, are you
Rams hat. Oh, I rock hats. Oh, let me explain something to you
now.
If you know me, you know my favorite team in the history of all of sports is the Detroit Lions. My favorite athlete of all time is Barry Sanders. I'm Pistons, I'm Tigers, I'm Red Wings, I'm Go Blue Michigan.
You watch golf? Not golf, but hockey.
Not as much as I used to in Detroit because the Red Wings won all the time. So you go to a game, you keep up because they were literally in the Stanley Finals, winning my formal, you know, formidable right. years growing up, like my teenage years, they were always winning. So definitely then, now not as much. So it's all about those. I'm a homer like a mug. I'm a okay. home team guy. When the Pistons come in town, I'm at the game. I got the Pistons hat on. But please believe, if the Bulls got a dope little snapback, I'm going to rock that. Please believe this little fatigue Rams hat that I think you saw me in.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed that.
And the reason I ask, because, I mean, I'm diehard for my team. So, yeah. I mean, I'm obviously a Georgia girl, huge UGA yep. fan. I'm an alum. Diehard Clippers. What's mm-hmm. up, Marcellus? I will rock like a Yankees hat because I'm not diehard into baseball. Mm-hmm. I will rock, I don't know, another NFL team hat because I'm not diehard. I mean, I am a diehard NFLer, but I don't have a team.
Right.
I will not rock another college hat. I will not rock another NBA hat. So when I saw you with the Rams, I was like, you have some commitment issues.
No, I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
No. I like fashion. Mm. I like hats. Okay. I like them to look dope. See, here's what I'm not. I am not the guy. For instance, I think Aaron Rodgers, at the end of his career, might be the greatest quarterback of all time.
Okay.
Of all time. He's still got a decade. I don't care if he doesn't win another Super Bowl. As long as he continues to have success. I'm not saying he can be a bum, like, and the team isn't good. Point being, he destroys my Lions every year. But I can admit that. Like, the boy might be the best quarterback. Right. So I'm never that guy. And I think I get hate on that on our show because Kobe, like, for example, Kobe Bryant, one of the greatest of all time. I think he's the second best shooting guard, Jordan and Kobe. That's okay. great company.
That's fair.
But if I say something like, I think, he was a ball hog at times. Like, I'm a hater. Or if I think that, he isn't what he used to or something. Or if I think LeBron has a greater skill set, you're a hater. So I've learned if you're able to be – if you're a rational fan, you're not a fan.
So I think that it is completely fair to give credit where credit is due. I mean, like, my Bulldogs, I mean, we have been in battle for years. Like, we're always right on the precipice but can't quite ever get over. I can give credit to LSU and Bam and all, other rivals within our conference. I'm not going to wear their hat. See, and that's the difference. Like, you can speak rationally about a team's success and about a player's potential legacy. I'm not going to rock his hat.
You know what? And honestly, I get that, and I even respect that.
Okay.
Just don't make sure the hat's not dope.
So would you rock a Green Bay hat?
I probably wouldn't rock a Green Bay hat.
See, okay. So it's in the same vein.
I think.
Okay.
I think. It is dope enough. I'm just saying.
Michael Phelps won best male U.S. Olympic athlete. It's not even...
Next!
Okay.
Maybe. Are you arguing that?
I'm not.
Man. And he won, too. He came up, too. His wife?
Nicole.
He came up.
Well, she was a Miss California. She's a pageant girl. So
you could have said she was Miss, like, Milky Way Galaxy. But he came up. But I'm proud of him.
He is Michael Phelps.
I'm proud of him, not for gold medals. I'm proud of him for her.
She's
The gold medals. I'm sorry. My bad. Long day.
She's very pretty. Okay, we're going to play another game. But before we play a game, let's go through these sports topics really quickly.
Yeah.
Some of the most polarizing topics of the moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, sports, you can always find a polarizing topic. True. Even if it's not. What we do, we spin stuff in the media to make it polarizing even when it's not.
Yeah, that's the debate era we're in right now, right?
Right. LeVar Ball. With his flair, he offends a lot of people.
He does.
Do you think that his attitude and his personality will be to the eventual detriment of Lonzo?
No, I think he'll just become white noise and become boring. That happens at times. I say this on the air. Sometimes the thing that you're known for and liked for or mm-hmm. beloved for will be the thing that becomes, what you're not liked for. I always use an example. That wild, crazy friend of yours we all have. Mm-hmm. Man, I love hanging with her or him. They crazy. They wild. Then later, I can't hang with him or her. Why? Because they crazy and wild. So I think for him right now, it's entertaining. We're laughing. This dude is crazy. And I think eventually we go, here comes crazy LeVar and be tired out. However, there is it's very calculated, and it's worked.
It's working.
And his son is created. Take away his son and the talent first, because we didn't even really get to see that. I'm talking about an NBA level.
Right.
He created so much buzz where if you don't even watch college basketball, you're like, let me check this kid out.
Nice.
So he did his job, I think.
Okay.
And got his son the notoriety and scream Lakers, and put that into fruition.
He's a Laker.
And words spoke those words into existence. Now he's a Laker. I don't agree with him offending certain people. Like, I'm not big into the.
So the Kristen Leahy thing where he said on The Herd.
Yeah, stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane. You disagreed with that?
The whole incident or just the specific stay in your lane?
Well, there.
Because I interpreted the stay in your lane as I'm mad at you, right, Eric? So I'm
right.
Stay in your lane because I'm talking to Colin.
Right.
Not like a woman should never be on television. I didn't take it that way.
So it was uncomfortable, but you read the blogs, you read the comment section, and a lot of people, I mean, even people who I, you know, look at as being pretty reasonable and rational thought that that was way over the line, that he was way out of line to have, quote unquote, disrespected her that way. Do you think that that was a disrespectful thing?
So I think he was salty, upset because she had questioned him and his raising of his sons. So I think he came in already with that on the mind. Even though you walk in a situation like, hey, how you doing? And he's like, did I say something to me about?
Right.
And I feel like that was a retaliation for that. And his tone was not good at all because she is co-host of that show. So I would hope if you're on the person's platform, you would be courteous.
But his tone was no different with her than he was with Stephen A. when he was on.
Exactly. So I also think when she, you know, I don't want to get into this, but the whole threatening thing, when he said, you know, basically, if you talk smack about me, I'm going to talk smack about you. And she's like, are you threatening me? He didn't mean it like that. Right. So it got all ugly.
So
but
if it came down to it and I had to go to teespring.com and make a Team Christine shirt or Team LeVar shirt, which one would you rock?
Oh, I'm not either team.
No, like, you got to choose a shirt.
Well, I don't.
Team Christine from that
incident.
Yes.
Then I would have to be Team LeVar and that it worked.
That's
and
all.
That it worked. And believe it or not, it benefited her. We're talking about her right now. I had no intentions of talking about her. I don't, you know, like. Yeah. And we're talking about her. So was it an uncomfortable? Was he probably disrespectful? Yeah, too. But again, I also think his tone and what he said, it's not as bad as the tone. Like, you know, and like it seemed threatening, but he's not threatening her. Like, I'm about to come after you.
Of course not.
So that's why I said it just got misconstrued and ugly.
She pulled that out of her pocket because sometimes that's what people do.
Yeah. He wasn't threatening
her. He was not.
Yeah, he was just saying, if you talk smack, I'm going to talk smack. Or if you talk smack, it's going to come back at you. That's how I interpreted it. But I wasn't sitting there. I can't speak for her.
KD to the Warriors. Some call it ring chasing.
It is ring chasing.
Okay, perfect. It's ring chasing. So
it's ring chasing.
So does this championship have an asterisk?
No. As much as I would like to think so. But here's why. We've created a culture where we bash you unless you win, right? So LeBron ain't Jack because he hasn't won a ring. LeBron was the MVP, was the best player in the league before he ever won a ring. But we bashed him. We're like, well, shoot, I got to go get a ring. So then, yo, D-Wade, stay in Miami. Yo, Chris, what's up? Let's hop down and go down to South Beach. Point is, he creates the culture where you ain't Jack unless you win. And I presented the example that it started. Me and my boy were talking about this once with Jordan is Jordan. He set the standard, right? Jordan, boom, okay. And then, because, great example, did we ever say that about Reggie Miller?
No, but
we didn't even say that about Charles Barkley. Now we say it because it's in the culture. During his playing career, we were like, yo, he's a freaking beast. He hasn't won yet, but you didn't criticize
him. But here's the thing. I think the difference between a Charles or a Reggie is that they weren't a Kobe. As great as they were, as phenomenal as they weren't Kobe. They weren't Michael. They weren't LeBron. And I think that when you are, like, when you're the man, okay, LeBron going to Miami made that team. Miami needed LeBron more, or as much as, but probably more than he needed them. You know, Cleveland wouldn't have won, and Miami wouldn't have won either, but LeBron going there made them winners. Charles Barkley going to 100 different teams is not going to be the difference maker.
I disagree. He goes to Phoenix. They go to the finals. And if it had not been for a man named Michael Jordan, who was in a way a lot of people, maybe he gets a ring. So, but that goes back to your original question. You asked, was his ring chasing? I'm saying yes.
He's a ring chaser.
Because people, they're looking at it. Chris Paul now, you could say he's ring chasing. Because
he needs to chase a ring.
But that's what I'm saying.
He needs to.
At this point, people are like, you ain't Jack. Chris Paul ain't Jack. Chris Paul has been the best point guard of his generation. Flat out.
Okay.
I don't care. I want him to have gone to a Western Conference final or to the finals, but the fact of the matter is he hasn't. Is he not still, not maybe not now at this point because he's a little older, but I'm saying for his length tenure, has he not been the best point guard of the generation?
Of his generation, yes.
Yes.
So
to now diminish him simply because he hasn't won, you could be mad that he hasn't gone. I'm with that. But to all of a sudden make it like he's not great. So now you get guys doing that. So LeBron went and did it, and now followed by Kevin Durant, who said LeBron started this.
He didn't start it, but LeBron, again, I cannot say enough or a million more times that LeBron going to Miami, they needed him. The Warriors did not need Kevin Durant. Like,
oh, they didn't know. I'm not arguing
they
that.
Didn't need
they
him.
Won 73 games and were a Kyrie jumper away from going back to back.
So Kevin Durant went to a team that didn't really need him. LeBron went to a team and saved the day.
No, for sure.
So that's a huge difference to me. Okay, we can fuss about this all day. The curious case of Major League Baseball. Are you into baseball?
Casual.
Okay.
Yeah, I keep up. I keep up. That's my job, and I don't mind it, especially when a baseball postseason is really good. It's entertaining.
Right.
But
before that,
just day to day game. 47 right. of 162? Nah.
No. So my question is this. Do the MLB powers that be need to find a way to speed up the game to make it more palatable for millennials or for people? No, you don't think so?
I used to even think that and say that, but the reality is, Erica, come on, are we really about to watch it because it's 15 minutes faster? No. What they need is star power.
Okay.
There's a casual sports fan who doesn't keep up a little bit, or, you know, your mom, if you will. Right. She knows Steph Curry.
True.
She knows LeBron.
Right. So they need Mike steroids. Trout they need steroids.
Mike Trout just won. That's what they need. Mike Trout just won best baseball player at the ESPYs. Mike Trout could walk through Boise, Idaho, and no one would know him.
Yeah. I mean, he could walk in here.
He could walk in here and you'd be like, hey, man, that dude must do something athletically.
Right.
Point being, baseball needs star power more than just shortening. We like to shorten the games. Okay, yeah, I get it. But the fact of the matter, it is never going to be the way it's played. It's still not going to be appealing as much just to the young people.
Right.
Instant now. I can quickly hit a hashtag Steph Curry. I'm going to see him cross over Chris Paul and make him play Twister.
Right.
Right. I'm going to see Steph hit a three and step back and do a little shimmy.
Right.
Well, baseball, swing and a miss.
That's it.
Okay, maybe the pitchers now they have it at 30 seconds. Okay, still 30 seconds. Swing and a miss. And a swing and a miss from a pitcher is not entertaining unless you're into baseball.
Right.
You don't have to be into sports to see Steph Curry cross, spin, shoot a three, and walk backwards.
Right.
You're like, I don't know what that was. That was entertaining.
Yeah.
So that's really it. It's more, it's just the game itself. It's not quite as entertaining. There's someone right now listening who's like, oh, he's crazy. Because they're peers. They grew up with it. Their father passed it on. And I'm not mad at you. And I've been to three Dodger games in the last couple of weeks.
Do you want to kill yourself? Yes or no?
No. Baseball games are cool when you're there.
In person.
Because
fun.
It's more of a, it's you're just kicking it. It's a beautiful day. You know, especially if you're on a date. You know,
right.
I agree. You're going to say that. I've been there. Oh, wait. Uh-oh, no home run. Anyway, like I was saying, you can do that. It's beautiful. And I was at the, you know, I was in a suite, so that always helps, as you know.
Look at this.
My point of bringing that up.
I work at ESPN. I work at
NBC. I didn't mean
this. I was in the suite.
My point of bringing that up was that's a whole other experience where you get to just eat and look at the TV and talk smack.
Right.
But ball games are, they're more entertaining. Now, I'm not going to the 25 ball games
Heck
a year.
No.
I usually go to, you know, 2-3 a year, so I might have already using my allotment for the year.
Speaking of allotments, do college players deserve an allotment when it comes to getting paid? Do they deserve to get paid as college athletes?
You deserve an AfterBuzz and Emmy up in this mug right now. The way you keep segueing. Boy, I tell you. The way you keep segueing, I'm telling you something. Let me get my Bumblebee mic situated. I keep smacking my Bumblebee mic. Yes, they deserve it.
Yeah.
How do we do it? I don't know.
Okay.
But if nothing else, tell me if you like this.
Okay.
I believe they are suffering from identity fraud, college athletes. I will expound.
Okay.
If I tell you you can't be you, mm-hmm. but I can sell you, like I can do everything about you. So somebody wants to pay you, Erica,
$1 million.
No, let's keep it real. They want to pay you $1,500 to come out here and host a dance, you know, some choreography. Just okay. back, you know, you're getting your dance.
Right.
Choreography. We'll pay you $1,500, a couple hours. Come on out. We'll promote it. We're having you come up, you know, the Atlanta Falcon dance. And you could not use your, you know, you be yourself.
Right.
I can't be the Sam Darnold USC quarterback and I can't go make a quick $1,000 because some dealership wants me there for an hour to sign autographs.
Right.
I can't, you know, if somebody wants to give me free things just by me posting on my Instagram, hey, check out so-and-so. To me, that's where the baseline, we can start there. I don't know, $100 per yard run, or
right.
I don't know how we pay. Is it $15,000 per athlete?
Right.
What about the women? What about tennis?
What, no.
I don't know that, but I do need to know that at least you can do that. And if someone said, well, that's not fair because so-and-so, you know, the punter won't get paid like the quarterback. Well, that's capitalism.
That's life.
Yeah. That's just capitalism, you know what I mean? And maybe he'll still get something because they'll at least have a USC player they can promote.
Like, I mean, when you have Alabama's and Georgia's, you know, grossing $500 million,
right.
The punter can get something.
So I think that, yes, there's a lot of
yes.
room for it. But to me, you can at least start by allowing people to be themselves and get paid for that.
Okay.
If somebody buys a jersey that we know good and doggone well is me, throw your boy a couple dollars.
Right, a couple meaning a couple thousand. Yeah. You know.
So that I think you can start there.
Okay, speed round number two, and then we got to wrap this thing up. We're just talking.
I thought this is what we do, right?
What?
I'm enjoying myself.
This is good. good.
Well,
this is good.
We only got a few more minutes. Oh, what? Yeah, I'm ready to keep going.
Get ready to get kicked out of here. Okay, speed round number two. Same idea. Quickly, candidly. Don't give a lot of thought. Okay. Just answer as quickly as you can.
I'm gonna try to be better this time. Go ahead.
Because the last time
mind your
sucked.
Business. Mind your business.
Sucked. Jay-Z's 444. Have you heard it yet?
Yeah. Well, is it yes?
Okay.
That's it. Fast.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
All right.
Is it one of Jay-Z's top albums to date?
No.
Top three albums today, I should say more specifically.
No.
Okay. Have you ever...
But he's got 20, so you know what I mean? Okay. Like it's really good. Very good. I've enjoyed it.
But not top three.
Not top three.
Have you ever regifted a present?
Yes.
What was it?
Gift cards like a mug. Yes, like a mug.
Okay. In-N-Out or Five Guys?
In-N-Out. But Five Guys is right there. I just don't go frequently enough. In-N-Out is everywhere, so...
True.
In-N-Out.
Kyrie or CP?
Oh! Oh! Today, Kyrie.
Okay.
Oh, I think. Hold on. Oh! Kyrie. Oh! Hurry up. Next question.
Okay. Worst meltdown, Falcons in the Super Bowl or Warriors losing 3-1 lead to Cavs in 2016?
Falcons.
Man, why?
Because that was a meltdown.
That's bad.
The Warriors, they just got like LeBron just went crazy. And we had just seen the series before where the Warriors went 3-1 on the Thunder.
On the Thunder, yeah.
So that, I mean, that was a collapse. But I feel like using the term meltdown, the Falcons melted down. They felt the pressure like, oh my gosh, that's the Patriots. Look at that TB12. That's Tom Brady. You can, I don't feel like the Warriors did that. They just lost.
Okay.
So, like LeBron put 41-41 triple-double up. Kyrie goes nuts a couple of those games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I feel like they just lost. Where the Falcons, that was a melt. Oh,
okay.
They crapped their pants.
Last one, Tidal or Apple Music?
Tidal. Oh, Apple.
Really? Look at you not supporting the culture.
No, watch this, though. I just got Apple Music like a month and a half ago.
And you still not
supporting
the culture?
I was like, hey, they got this thing, Apple Music. You can go check out album. I'm like, I can't keep up with social, like all this technology, man. Like, I'm...
Says the guy with two phones, by the way.
Hey, mind your business.
He's a liar.
Mind your business.
He's a habitual liar.
I can't. No, I for real. Because there's Apple Music, then there's Tidal, then there's Spotify. Like, best show, Instagram, Pinterest, Snapchat. Like, I can't keep up, man. Can we rock out with one for a while?
I mean, you can, but then you're rocking out with Apple Music. That's completely your.
But I get the principle, like you said, supporting around Tidal.
Support. I mean, even if you just get like you know free trial and then do 1 month subscription,
I may consider that for that reason alone.
I mean,
I just don't. And to be honest with you, more I care about that, but I haven't cared enough about. Like I said, I just got Apple Music. It's been around for years,
right?
So I don't know. I'm always behind with that stuff.
That's okay.
I'll be honest.
Well, now I've gotten you up to speed, so now you can do better. Now you know better. You can do better. Okay. Before we wrap up, what is your ultimate career goal?
To be my own boss, BYOB,
mm-hmm.
To determine what I do, the content, the outlet, you know, and that's the eventual goal. You see people doing that now, like a Steve Harvey, mm-hmm. Ryan Seacrest, shout out to your boy, me, Tyrone Seacrest. Mm-hmm. That's what we call myself.
Okay, Tyrone.
Tyrone Seacrest
what
on
up,
my
Ty?
Show.
Ty.
What's up? So it'd be my own boss to create what I want, when I want, put it out how I want, where I want. So that's the eventual goal as far as professionally.
Do you want to dabble in acting and writing and producing?
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's you know how it is out here. I mean, I've already done like a commercial, which I did like three commercials that never made it. By the way, that happens all the time.
That happens.
Here, like,
listen, I got one that I filmed 6 months ago. I'm like, where's commercial?
Yeah.
I would love this
that
money
happened
right
to
now.
Me. That happened to me. So shout out to all you people who are like for real actors out there. I feel for you. It's a tough business. But yeah, absolutely, I'd be open. I'm completely into it, but I'm really into documentaries.
What are you watching?
Defiant ones right now. I just watched I Am Not Your Negro by James mm-hmm. Baldwin. Oh man. Into so many documentaries. And so point is I would love to create some as well. So really creating content and again just, you know, doing my own thing and putting it in. And that doesn't mean I'm not working for a network, but it's
right.
How I want to when I want to. So
okay. How do you handle setbacks?
Ooh. I guess a great question. By number one, keeping my faith and understanding that God placed me here for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps you when you, the hater aid that we all have, let's be honest, it's kind of boils up at times. How did he or how did she? It's like, you know what? You know, that's not designed for me. That was not for me. So mm-hmm. It can put you at a peace. Like, you know, I can actually applaud them and be happy for them or for that or for this. And knowing that, you know, he's never failed me yet. That's my own personal mantra. And so, and then, you know, my own human ability that I put in the work and believe that, you know, I have a certain skill set that is employable.
It is employable so, by a couple of different networks, by the way.
Well, you know, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Grateful. You're the one.
No, I'm grateful. So it's a matter of being hungry, being very, very grateful and at peace, and knowing that it ain't that bad. Mm. And I grew up very modestly, grew up with tons of love and support, but, you know, we didn't have a lot of means. And so knowing that, like, man, you are blessed. Like, right. it ain't that bad. Right. And I know it's not proper English, but it ain't that bad. And so, you know, knowing that, you know, better days come.
What is something that you know now that you wish you knew when you first got started?
Continue to be yourself.
Be yourself.
Flat out. That's it. Period. Be yourself. And with that, be comfortable with that everyone isn't going to like you. Matter of fact, that might be number one.
Okay.
If I could go tell 14, 15, 16-year-old Kelvin that, be comfortable because of my personality and my thought process and kind of my heart. I say my heart more than anything. I love people first, man. I want everybody happy. I want everybody living, prospering, and I'm one of those types of people, you know. And so simply, not everybody's going to like you.
Right.
And not everybody's going to be about what you're about, and you know, and being okay with that. So that I wish I would have got that a little earlier.
Who doesn't anybody like you right now that you want to call out, that you want to shout out to your close up?
That's a girl.
Who doesn't like you that you want to be like, look, you don't like me? Or who didn't give you a chance? You want to be like, you didn't give me a chance?
No, I won't say anybody in particular. I'll say there's one incident where it really still scarred me in the industry, where I saw like a little hate for success very early. I mean, it wasn't even nothing compared to, you know, it was like 10, 12 years ago.
Right.
But a lot of hate from the same person that put me in a position to win. And then this and this and that, and said some very hurtful things. And again, I use that as fuel, but I never forgot that moment. Never. No, I mean, it was a very telling moment. It said more about that person and those people. And it kind of got me thickened my skin.
Hmm.
Like, oh, okay. I'm not even doing really anything great at this point, and this is how it is. So who can imagine, you know, what it's going to be like in the future? And I'll never forget that, how I felt in that moment. Betrayed, confused, like, what, baffled. You just supported me. You're the reason I got on. You know, you put me in a good position. Now you're talking crazy and saying things that literally are contrary to why you supported me.
Right.
So in a matter of, you know, months. So it was very strange. And I'll never forget that, but I've learned from that and used that.
Well, you talk about your faith, and clearly your faith got you to get past that point and gotten you to...
Oh, man, that's important to me.
Right. So tell everyone out there again where they can find you on the radio and on NBC.
Yeah. Tune in. And if you're watching this live, tune in an hour. ESPN LA 710, Marcellus and Kelvin Show. We try to, you know, talk about sports, of course, but the best parts are when we turn left. And if you listen, you know we turn left a lot.
Right.
It's a great show. We have a lot of fun. And on Mondays, 10, 9 central on NBC is Spartan Ultimate Team Challenge. Episode 6 is this Monday. And then the 7 and 8, we put into one big, huge two-hour finale the following Sunday. It's going to be on Sunday. So, Ken, Sunday for that. And K-Dub Live on Instagram, Twitter, and Kelvin Washington, you got to search a little bit. I just started a Facebook page.
Okay.
A public fan page, whatever. I'm such a regular dude. Like, that's just weird to me.
Fan page.
Like, what?
You got fans. I see them going after you on Twitter. You got fans.
That's weird.
You got fans. You got stands. The young folks say
I got
fans.
The homies.
You got the homies?
I got the homies. Fans is a little... My career is too paced to, like, have fans. I don't know. It's weird to me.
Kelvin Washington's got fans. Guys, thank you so much for sitting down
with us. I'm coming back. This is great.
You coming back. I'll let you know. I'll get on Twitter, send you a tweet and say, Kelvin.
And let me say also, first off, thank you for having me, really, at you and After Buzz, and speedy recovery to Maria as well.
Right.
And so continue to success to After Buzz, to you, Erica, and this was a blast.
Awesome. And all you live viewers out there, thank you guys for tuning in. You can watch it over and over again, and you can share it with your friends.
Share.
And tweet at us. Retweet it.
Right. YouTube links and send it out.
Right.
Support the show. Support Erica. Support your boy, right. Maria, and everybody.
Erica Renee Davis, you can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Insta Story at Erica Renee D. Tell them one more time where they can find you.
K-Dub Live. K-Dub, that's two B's, by the way. KDUBBLIVE. K-Dub Live on Instagram and Twitter. And from there, you'll find the rest.
And as always, follow all things AfterBuzz TV on AfterBuzzTV.com. Thanks, guys, for watching Spotlight On. Until next time, see ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.